You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
On April 24th, the NDP announced that they would be increasing the basic welfare rate for single employable persons by $20 to $630 a month and doubling the earnings exemption to $400 a month. They also plan to bring back the $100 child support payment exemption, as well as a child care supplement of up to $70 for low and moderate income families. Anti-poverty spokespeople have not responded enthusiastically, to say the least. Bill Hopwood is organizer with Raise the Rates, and he joins me here in the studio to talk about the NDP's platform on poverty in British Columbia. Welcome to Red Eye, Bill.
Thank you. Hello.
And thanks for coming down to the station. Let's start with the current situation for people on welfare right now. How would you describe the essential predicament they're in?
Well, basically, nobody can live on welfare. I mean, just to give people the basic facts, single person able to work gets $610 a month. A person on the disability rate gets $906 a month. A family of four gets just over $1,000 a month, plus they will get some federal child benefit money as well. And none of them are livable on. I mean, we'll use the single person one because it's simplest for people to just think about one person. We estimate that by the time you've paid for rent, occasionally had a bath, some hygiene, you have a phone because you have to contact the welfare office and you're supposed to look to work, you have about $26 a week for food. And we challenged last October over 100 people to try that, and there was dietitians involved and chefs involved in it, and they said, with all the training as a dietitian, there's no way you can make $26 a week into a healthy diet. So you can't live on welfare. How many people are there on welfare? In BC, there's 180,000 people on welfare. The majority of those are people with either on the disability rate, just over 100,000. And then there's a group who are expected to work, but the government recognizes they have some barriers, so they're sort of a transitional group. But, I mean, just to put it in context, in 2006, it was 130,000. So before the economy went down the pan, since the economy went into crisis, and in spite of all the talk by politicians and the government, unemployment is still up in BC. The jobs haven't come back. So the welfare roll has gone up by 150,000 in the last few years and shows no sign of coming down because there aren't the jobs. So there's no point in saying to people, welfare, get a job, particularly if you have temporary foreign workers who have no rights taking those jobs. There aren't the jobs there. So you can't live on welfare. The number of people on welfare has gone up. And, yeah.
So when you saw that the NDP platform proposed a number of changes, what was your first response to that?
Well, the initial response was, did I hear it right? I mean, actually one person said they thought the increase was 10 times what it actually was because they couldn't believe it was so low. But, okay, so what is the NDP proposing? And let's spend a little time thinking about that. They propose to increase welfare, and it's not just for people, single people. It's for all welfare recipients, whether you're on disability or able to work. $20 a month increase. That's 66 cents a day. So a person on welfare will go from, single person will go from 610 to 630. And all the evidence is almost all of that money will go to the landlords because they'll just put up the rent. That's what happened the last time welfare was raised by a small amount. The landlords just put up the rent. A person on disability, their rate will go from $906 to $926. But they're still $660 behind Alberta. So BC is way out of line. So the welfare thing doesn't cut it. And then there's the child thing. And okay, it's great that they're giving some increase, but it isn't adequate. Just again, to give you the picture, they say in their own platform that this will raise 8,400 children and their families out of poverty over the next few years. There are 119,000 children in poverty in BC. So how is the government, or the NDP, if they form the government, in all conscience, able to say, okay, we're going to take 8,500 out of poverty, but we're going to leave another 100,000 in poverty? How can they look those children in the eye and say, well, you're not worthy of coming out of poverty. We think you should stay in poverty, which is what they're saying. They're going to take 8,000 out, 100,000 will stay in. So it doesn't cut it either in terms of the child piece or in terms of the welfare increase. And yes, allowing single parents to keep some child benefit is... At the moment, if you are a single parent and you're receiving payment from an absent parent, the government takes all of it. They're going to let you keep, a single parent, keep some of it. But still, most of it they're going to take back to the government. So why they just didn't abolish that rule? So there are little tweaks that are good. It's better than what we've got now, but it doesn't measure up to what's needed.
And what's needed is really the question of poverty rather than welfare. Is anything addressing the situation for what keeps people in poverty? How does the present situation, or even the proposed situation, still leave people in poverty? What's the dynamic?
Okay, poverty is wider than welfare. Over 15% of all of the population of BC are in poverty. That's 688,000 people. That's 1 in 7 adults in BC are in poverty. That's the worst in Canada. BC has the second worst child poverty, 14 point something percent, as I said, 119,000. And it also has the most unequal distribution between rich and poor. And those three go together. Inequality breeds poverty. That's why. If people are poor because other people are excessively rich, it's not like BC's a poor province, so it's distribution that makes the poverty. So we have the worst or second worst poverty and child poverty in Canada. So why are people poor? Well, first of all, most of those people are working poor. So the minimum wage has been held down, which then holds down other wages. And the more you drag down welfare, you have a race to the bottom. So welfare is important not just for the people on welfare, but also for workers in general and for the labor movement, because it sets the floor. And the lower the floor, the lower the rest of the building, so to speak. So, you know, those are the facts about poverty, that it's the worst in Canada, and it's linked to driving down wages.
Now, according to some recent study, 75% of people polled would agree with reducing poverty, raising welfare rates to people being able to afford decent housing and food. Why aren't politicians listening to that? Why aren't they listening in the NDP to that?
I mean, partly I can't answer for them. But, I mean, you're right. The majority of people in BC, overwhelming majority of people in BC, want action on poverty, poverty in general and welfare in particular. I mean, I think the part of the problem is, and the NDP can correct me if I'm wrong, is that they're still looking at the problem from the wrong end. They're looking at the cost of fixing poverty. And let's look at that. First of all, let's be clear, that poverty has a cost. I mean, it has a direct personal cost into the people who are poor, emotional stress, worry, bad diet, ill health. And some of these affect children even before they're born. Stress and bad diet are passed on to a child before it's born while it's still in the womb. But poverty has a cost. The health service in BC alone, poverty costs it over $1 billion a year. There's then the crime and justice, charities, all that money the charities raise, trying to fix poverty. There's other economic costs. And if you put it all together in a bundle, the cost of poverty in BC is around $8 billion. The cost of fixing it, which would be raising welfare, raising the minimum wage, a good child care program, which would benefit not just the poor, would benefit the majority of BC people, a house building program. The cost of that is around $4 billion. So tackling poverty would save $4 billion a year. Tackling poverty would save each individual person in BC over $2,000 a year. It would create jobs. The fact is that if you raised welfare and the minimum wage, that money goes into the local economy. You give a tax cut to the rich, odds are they don't even spend it in BC. They put it in a tax haven where there's, I can't even remember how many trillion dollars are hidden there, or they invest it somewhere else. If you raise welfare, you raise the minimum wage, they go out and buy food in the shops. They go buy a new pair of shoes for their kids. The money goes straight into the local economy. So the question is not can we afford... It's not about whether we can afford to end poverty. The real question is why do the politicians continue to waste money on poverty? And I guess behind that is the question, who benefits from poverty and why won't the government address the issue? And I think the NDP are looking at it the wrong way. Because they do make some good statements. They say the bottom line, this is from their platform, socially and economically, is that the increase in poverty and inequality is bad for our society. That's entirely true. But they haven't grasped the solution, is an anti-poverty strategy that is integrated, that we have too much piecemeal.
I think that's often the case, that people look at saying, housing will cost this much, raising the rates will cost this much, etc. But they don't look at what are the costs in social costs, in health, and in disease, etc., from not fixing the problem.
Yes. And I mean, I gave the money cost of eight. It costs us $8 billion a year to keep people in poverty, and it would cost us $4 billion to get us out of poverty. So we, as the taxpayers and the residents of BC, are paying $4 billion a year to keep people poor. So somebody must be benefiting from this. But there's another side to it, is that BC, as I said earlier, is the most unequal province in Canada. And inequality is bad for society. That if you compare two countries that have the same sort of average GDP per head of population, the more unequal one will do worse on almost everything. And I mean, just to give people a sense of this, and also, by the way, this is for everybody except the super rich. This is for, you know, well-paid workers, what is called the middle class. They do worse as well. It's not just the poor. So, get ready for this. Life expectancy, infant mortality, child well-being, level of trust, women's status, mental illness, illegal drug use, obesity, educational attainment, crime, homicide, imprisonment, social mobility, recycling, and even innovation all are worse in an unequal society. And just, I mean, that innovation one really struck me, because people go on about if you make the country more unequal, people will try harder and be more dynamic. Well, they looked and compared between Finland, Sweden, and Norway, which are some of the more equal countries in the world, compared to the United States and Britain. Finland, Sweden, and Norway did 10 times better on innovation than the United States and Britain. So on almost everything, more unequal societies do worse. So, you know, it doesn't stack up by any economic, social, moral reason. And it keeps coming back to who is benefiting from unemployment, from poverty, from inequality, from keeping people poor. Somebody must be benefiting. The Liberals bragged about the inequality in BC. Kevin Falcon, who was the finance minister, was proud of how unequal BC is. It's welcome the NDP is talking about the damage of poverty and inequality. But what they're proposing doesn't add up to what they want to do. They've diagnosed the problem, which is great, but they haven't diagnosed an answer yet. Poverty is a cancer in society, and they're still giving us aspirin rather than treating cancer. And I don't know how they can justify continuing to waste $4 billion a year to keep people poor.
Well, thank you for sharing the insights. posing the problem in particular, and coming down to the station as well.
Well, thank you very much.
Much appreciated. I've been speaking with Bill Hopwood. He's an organizer with Raise the Rates. And if you'd like more information about Raise the Rates, it's a coalition of community groups and organizations concerned with the level of poverty and homelessness in BC, go to their website, raisetherates.org.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@coopradio.org.